Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Mind monsters, manipulation. I don't want to spoil it for everyone, but that wasn't actually a talking puppet. There was a guy who had his hand up in that puppet, making it move his mouth. And that's oftentimes what we do through manipulation, addicted to approval. And I know all about that. If you've been here for a long time, you know for sure that I love my dad. And I say this with all due respect. I adore my dad. In fact, I put a lot of my life on hold for my dad because I loved him and I was addicted to his approval. And it helps sometimes to understand your personality and other people's personalities so you can understand why they do what they do. So my dad was a choleric. Saddam Hussein was a choleric. Hitler was a choleric. So they're very my way or the highway. I happen to be a sanguine choleric, which makes me like, hey, in the middle of a sermon, I might start singing, you know, I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. Boop, boop, boop. I write the songs that make Nicole girl cry. I might do that. That's the sanguine in me, okay? But then the cleric in me goes, hey, we need a puppet. I like it. That's fun, but it got to come out on time. The guy has to be hid. The lighting has to be right. But understanding that, I'm not trying to change you and I'm not trying to change me. We are who we are. But if some people are too domineering and people who not necessarily are weak, a different personality type, are controlled by them instead of by him. And it's no way to lead your life, having someone control you when God is the one who loved you. He is the one who gave himself for you, so he wants to be in control of your life ultimately, but he wants you to control your life. Everybody practice it with me. Shout, I'm in control of my life. Nobody else is the boss of me. And not in a rebellious way, just in knowing what God has for you. So we find out that we're made in the likeness and image of God. In Genesis 1:26, it says this, and God said, let us make mankind in our own image after our likeness. And let them, not a person, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything that creeps on the earth. So let's thank God we got dominion over creeps, isn't that right? But God said, let them have dominion. In other words, you have authority and you have power. So you have to use that authority and the power. Not in a domineering way, but you have to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to allow my happiness to be in someone else's head. I'm going to enjoy my life right now. We've all heard this statement. You know the answer to this. If mama ain't happy, how y'all know that is absolutely the truth, isn't that right? But if daddy ain't happy, nobody's happy. We cannot allow that statement to dominate our life. If mama ain't happy, mama probably ain't got a problem. Mama probably has a problem and she has to deal with the problem, but you can't spend your whole life thinking, I need to find out if mama's happy today. I need to find out if daddy's happy today. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you enjoy life to the full. And you can't enjoy your life waiting to see if you're going to be happy, if somebody's going to allow you to be happy. You have to enjoy right now. This is the only 2016 that you're ever going to have. You're never going to be as good looking as you are right now. You're never going to be as happy as you are right now. You are living the dream life, but some people are putting it on hold because, well, they won't let me do it. So in my life in ministry, I had no measurable success in ministry because I waited till I was like 34 to start in ministry because actually, if you study it, my dad was actually, he did love me. He loved me so much that he wanted to manipulate me because he wanted me to be by him. So he thought if I would ever become a preacher that I would become incredibly successful and build a big, huge church. And then I wouldn't want to be a part of his church. Well, he was right about that, but he should embrace it instead of trying to erase it. So then eventually, 12 years ago, 56 years old, he dies, goes on to be in heaven, and then I start this church. I'm just here to tell you that life is too short to put your life on hold, to allow a person, even though you love them and they love you, you cannot allow your happiness to be manipulated by a man when God said, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil to bring you to an expected end. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. So we're not going to allow, you know, somebody to just pull our strings all the time, to manipulate us. Not in a rebellious way. Nobody's telling me what to do. Well, that's a rebellious attitude. But when it gets out of control, you have to go, wait a minute, I have to take a real look at this and make sure I'm not allowing people to control my life, especially people who have done very little for us. This being addicted to approval, I don't think it ever goes away. I'm still addicted to approval. You think I would be over it, right? As soon as my dad died, I was looking for somebody else to kind of boss me around, somebody else to be a little just subservient. I'd be, oh yeah, I'll get your bag. In fact, we had grown the church to like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people, and I was invited to preach at this convention where it's like 20,000 pastors. And there was a friend of mine who I kind of put in that dad role who didn't even compare to the success we were having. But some reason, my wife kept saying, why are you doing that? Why are you allowing that person, like you're lifting them up and acting like you're kind of their water boy? What's up with that? And it, really what it was is I was still walking through the healing process of being controlled by someone else. Eventually, a lot of that went away, but some of it's still there. Even this week, I was asked, put pressure on, kind of manipulated by somebody to do something that I didn't feel like that I could really do. I felt like it kind of wanted me to promote something, and I just didn't feel like I could do it. But I knew if I got on the phone with the person that the person would control me, and by the end of the phone conversation, I would end up apologizing to them for my delay in not obeying them. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're not saying amen, I'm assuming you're the person who's the, I tell you what, I'm out. Come on, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. So we can't, if you know you're weak in that area, that's why text is awesome. So I was able to say what I needed to say in love. Then they said what they said, and I went, oh, well, I'm sticking to my guns. But then all week, even now, I still have that little thing playing. They're not happy with you. They don't approve of you. They're mad at you. I have to look at it and say, wait a minute. I need to stop letting people who do so little for me control so much of my mind, my feelings, and my emotions. I've got to look to Jesus who has done so much for me, and he doesn't want me to lose any of my bandwidth trying to please them when I need to please him. Come on, am I talking to anybody right now? I'm talking about work, talking about the office. We have to obey God. Stop allowing them to be the puppet master over your life. Now, John 10:10, we're going to put it on the screen, and I know you're familiar with it, but please, let's read it like you've never heard it before. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have and enjoy life to the full till it overflows. You need to be like little kids. Like I saw a little kid earlier at one of these services. I don't know how many I've done now because I lose count, but a lot of them. At one of the services, some little boy saw me. He's like, I said, oh, I like you. You're so cute. And he's like, hey. Oh. And I'm like, I just love, I want you to pray for me. And I put his hand on me, and I kind of went, whoa, hallelujah. He's like, and I was looking at him going, he has no light bill. He has no tax bill. You know what I'm saying? I don't even think he takes time to go to the bathroom. He's still on the Pampers. He's like, he doesn't know Hillary's running. He doesn't know Trump's running. He didn't know Y2K came. He wasn't even around when we were all supposed to die of Ebola. He didn't even know any of that stuff. He's just, God wants you that way. He wants you going, oh, I'm so excited about my future. I know God's got all this thing. And it's all going to work out together for my good. And I don't have to please them. I got to please him. Enjoy your life to the full. The thief comes to steal. And sometimes the people that he uses are people that you love. But if they love you, they won't abuse you, abnormally use you. And I know every time, I've only preached this message like twice because every time I have preached something along this line, there's always a backlash of manipulators who email me or want to hurt me because I'll tell you what, I'm coming to church. You tell my wife. Listen, if your wife's dumb enough to still allow you to abuse her, then that's too bad. But someday you'll realize that that woman left and the next woman will leave and the next woman will leave because you have to deal with the root that's causing the fruit and you have to not allow fear to manipulate other people or abuse people. Just love people because they probably love you and they will love you anyway and they'll stay with you if you stop being a bully. Come on, put an amen right there. Somebody ought to help the preacher preach today. Oh, Lord, you guys are quiet this morning, but that's okay. I've been preaching it anyway. I know what I'm about to say. I'm coming your way. All right, verse 11. Survey says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd risks his life, lays down his life for his own sheep. So what's a good shepherd do? Same thing you do as a parent. You do stuff for your kids you wouldn't do for anybody else's kids. You just love them. In fact, you're most like God when you're just being good to people. Have you ever been in traffic, you saw somebody, and you're like, I'm going to let them in. And you let them in, and you kind of hear music in your head, like, aww. You're like, I'm a humanitarian. Woo! But have you ever been in traffic, you saw somebody in, and you weren't in the mood to let them in, and you didn't think they needed to be in, and traffic was really bad, and you're like, I'm not going to look. Come on, raise your hand. You're lying in church right now. I know who you are.
It was me. I was trying to get at.
So I'm not going to look. How did you feel? When you're not looking, you kind of feel, I don't know, that's bad. But then when you let him in, you're like, oh. Because you're most like God when you give. For God so loved the world, he gave. So if a person really does love you, a good shepherd wants you to have a good life. And you, with your personality type, you want them to have a good life. You're not going to leave them if they have a good life. You just want the world to be right, and you will stop being manipulated by other people. So eventually you have to get to the point to where you love people, but you're not addicted to their approval. You have to be addicted to the approval of God. Because in this sermon, every service, I promise you, I've said things in here already, that some people I know are mad at me, and some people like me, and some people tell me, I wish you would wear a suit. I wore one last night, even had socks on. Then I woke up today and felt like I didn't feel like wearing a suit. I wanted to wear jeans that kind of gave with me, that were stretched out because I ate Taco Bell way too late last night. So I woke up and I put on a pair. Then I thought, I don't want to. Anybody ever wore skinny jeans and you don't feel like pulling your socks up through the skinny jeans? So I just didn't wear them. And then I put a shirt on that has a hole in it. Nicole said it has a hole in it. I said, I'm going to have a jacket on. She said, what if it gets hot? I said, I don't care how hot it is. The jacket looks cool. Jacket ain't coming out. It doesn't matter if I got a hole in it. So I'm not preaching whether you for your approval. Get what I'm saying? I got to be me and nobody can be me but me. So I'm going to be the best me that me can be. Now, I need you to be you because nobody else can be you but you. But if you're the manipulated you, maybe you ain't really being you because you got to find out if mama's happy to see if you're happy. Come on, somebody ought to help me. Good life. Everybody shout, I'm called to live the good life. Now, Ephesians 1:18, it says this, great scripture. By having the eyes of our heart flooded with light, now you can see it. So that you can know and understand what is the hope to which he has called you. You have a call. Okay, so on the other side of my dad was a big world that I needed to affect. Some big, like, things that needed to happen. Like, some big churches need to be built. And 300,000 people watched, according to Nielsen this week, in two cities, West Palm and St. Louis, not counting our national reach. So hundreds of thousands of people needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ from a guy who wasn't a TV pastor. He just had a ministry where we gave away the DVDs, okay? So we did that. We pulled it off. No one else has ever done that. God knew he wanted to use me for that call. So God has a call for you. And I'm here to tell you that part of the reason you've been fought so hard was God knew and the devil knew that God was going to do something big with you. So he fought you so hard. You went through the abuse and you went through the divorce. But the fact is you went through. And now you're connected to a good church. And if you're faithful here, the quicker you can graduate, not as in not coming to church, but graduate into the destiny that God has for you and do supernatural things while you still got teeth to chew it. And God is going to do it. And he's going to do it through teaching like this. So we just read, your eyes will be flooded with insight. So now when that person tries to manipulate you, or that addiction that you hate that you keep swearing to God you're never going to do again, but you keep doing it. She God, I'm so sorry. That goes away because you realize God's not basing his love for you on what you did. He's basing his love for you on what Jesus did. So therefore, if you start feeling better about you, you'll start doing better. Woman committed adultery. It's brought to Jesus. All these religious persons. We caught her in the very act. And Jesus was like, what channel were you watching? Just saying. How'd you see this? He without sin cast the first stone, and he starts writing in the sand. We don't know what he's writing. Some people think he's writing Bob, Motel 6 with Chiquita, January 14th, 2 p.m. But all we know is when Jesus looked back up and he brought her head up, nobody was there. He said, where are your accusers? She said, there are none. Then he says, neither do I condemn you. Now he says, go and sin no more. See, by not being condemned, manipulated by sin, she had the power to go and sin no more. But if you keep saying, I'm always an alcoholic, I'll never ever not be an alcoholic, you might always struggle with alcoholism. You might always struggle with this addiction, but Jesus has set you free. And now the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Somebody ought to help me. And behold, all things have become brand new. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit. So don't base God's love for you on your due. Base it on his done. If I waited till I felt right to preach to you, I wouldn't feel right. I have bad days. I have people attack me. I don't feel good. I have all kinds of junk come up. People like me. People don't like me. We were late. We were early. Sound was good. Sound was bad. This was that, blah, 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 blah. I don't base it on my feelings. I base it on faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. So when it's raining and you don't come to church, gonna be here. Time change weekend, you gonna come? You ain't coming to church. I know you. I'm gonna be here. It's first snow, you're not gonna be here. I'm gonna be here. The weather changes, the first pattern. I have a balance of my life because I don't do what I want to do. I do what God told me to do. Therefore, you have success. Not what man tells you to do. So stop allowing the enemy or the enemy or people or addictions to control you. You start controlling it and saying, I have the power to say no. I'm in control of my flesh. I'm the head, not the tail. I know the plans God has for me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I know he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Yeah, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Oh, nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus. Height, depth, things present. Hillary, Trump, gas prices, economy. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I say. I'm a faith man speaking faith words. And that's where you arrive at a holistic freedom and you enjoy your life. And then in the middle of your sermon, you can just start singing, I write the songs that make the whole world sing. Because I'm happy and I'm not even on medication like you know. I'm medicated, heavily medicated. It's called The Joy of the Lord is Your Strength. A merry heart does good like a medicine. I am medicated. Some of you look like you need some more medication right now. He's called you. Verse 19 says, and so that you may know and understand the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power for us, whom we believe, which he demonstrated when he was working with his mighty strength. He exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And he seated him at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all authority, all power, and all dominion. He set him far above. Everybody shout, far above.
Far above.
All authority,
all power,
and all dominion. You didn't say a little bit. It said far above. So now God resurrects Jesus from hell. Jesus comes back. He lands here on earth in an earth suit. And he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And tells us, greater works will you do than I do. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. So it's okay to tell your children that Jesus lives in their heart, but theologically it's wrong. We just read here that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Notice also he's seated very calmly. He's not up going, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know. I didn't see that happen. He's calm and he's seated. And then he left the Holy Spirit on the inside of you who is present here with you. He's the one that says, slow down. Tell him you're sorry. You shouldn't do that. Not in a condemning way, but in a convicting way. You know you need to do better, and that's why you came to church at 12:20. You're at church. Who would have ever thunk it that you would be at church at 12:20 on a Sunday? Because God is doing something in you that is actually going to be so great that the devil will not be able to do anything to you any longer, because you now realize you do not have to allow the authority of the flesh or dominion or any power to take dominion over you. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. Even when you're still doing it. You're still doing it. I hate smoking weed. But PD is really funny when I'm smoking weed. I'm talking to some people that are weed smokers. I'm talking to people that are still watching pornography. I'm talking about people that are still abusing food. I'm talking about people that are bound. Don't allow the devil to take authority of you and say, I can't go to church because I'm not acting like a Christian. You're not acting like a Christian. You are a Christian. We are right positionally, but conditionally, you're still jacked up. But if you come to church long enough, your condition will eventually line up with your position, but you're never ever going to be matching the position with the condition if you stay away from God. So that's why you can't go to a church that says, you're going to hell! You're going to hell! Clean up or you're going to hell! Then you leave and you feel like hell. But if you come to a church that says, God said this, I would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. I'm here to put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad about you. Then your condition starts lining up and you start feeling better about you. And if you feel better about you, you will do better. But if you're like, I'm always an alcoholic, I'm always oppressed, I'm always bound, that's your flesh. Okay? So when you got saved, your flesh didn't get saved. My flesh is not saved. If you slap me, depending on the day and the hour and my mood, you may or may not get slapped back. The Bible said, turn the other cheek. I only got four of them. We don't know how many cheeks I've been turning today. So at some point, I might come back. Whoa, whoa, stop that. But that's your flesh. So That's why Paul said, the thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do, I keep doing it. He says these words, and this will change your life. He said, my spirit's willing, or my heart's right, but my flesh is weak. He was denoting the difference. That puppet a while ago, I saw it in the van. It just lays there lifeless until he sticks his hand in it. Our spirit, man, is what God breathes his life into. And so that's what the part of us that's like God, not our flesh. Our flesh was made out of the dirt. That's why it's so dirty. People over here are like, oh, I'm talking to all y'all. You are made right, manufactured right, not because you do right, but because Jesus is on the inside of you, and that's the price that he paid. So he wants you to walk in that authority and dominion, not thinking, if I don't behave and I don't do, if they don't, if she's not, no, none of that matters. I want you to be happy with me. But at the end of the day, I'm going to leave. I got one more sermon to do. I'm going to Earth City in a minute, and we're going to get up there and get that thing going. And then when that one's done, I'm going to go eat. I can't wait to eat. I'm thinking about it right now. That's why I'm talking about it. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. I'm hungry. I'm going to eat. Come on, let's thank God right now for flatbread with chicken on it, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. I'm just going to pray over my food right now so I don't have to wait when I get there, Lord. I thank you for the food you're about to give me. I want to enjoy my life. I want you to like me, and I hope you do like me, but I want you to like you. And I want you to like you so much that you don't care if they like you or not because you like you. God spoke to me one day and he said, you know the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself? You'll never be able to love them because you don't love you. But when you start loving you, you can love your neighbor. And I'm not talking about the love your neighbor where you try not to get caught. I'm talking about loving your neighbor as in the kind of neighbor loving. Now let's get out of there as quick as we can. God gave you authority. He gave you power. He exerted that power. So you have to know the difference and you have to walk in boldness, understanding that God did it for you. Ephesians 2 verse 1, it says, and you, everybody shout, and you. Say, he's talking to me. And you he made alive when you were dead and slain in trespasses of sin, which at one time you walked habitually. You had that habit, you kept doing it. You followed the course of the fashion of the world. You were under the sway, the tendency of the present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient and under the control. You were dominated by that thing you hate. And it was a demon spirit consistently working in the sons of disobedience. Verse 4, but God. I love that. But God. Everybody shout, but God. See, if right now, if I had an organ, I was at our city, I'd go, but God. Oh, yeah, we got a little kid right there. Come on, give it up for that kid. His dad's like, shut up. No, I like that. Everybody shout, but God. I like it. Y'all don't respond, but the little kid's like, but God. God's about to take me to Chuck E. Cheese when this preacher shuts up. But God! Oh, Lord! Everybody shout again. But God! I love this. And the next verse says, even verse 5 says, and we were made alive together with him in fellowship with him. We were made alive with him. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same life which he quickened Jesus with. He gave it to us. And then verse 6 says, he raised us up together with him. We're seated with him in a heavenly sphere. God gave us all the authority and all the power that Jesus had. Now, you got to get this. My daughter understands this. She's 12. Last night, I was getting ready to preach here, and I got on the front row. You know how you can feel like, bing! So I looked, and I got an email. It's from Nordstrom's Rack in West Palm Beach, Florida. That's where my 12-year-old's at. I don't know she's at Nordstrom's. She's just down there at the Florida campus this weekend because her brother's there. She wanted to stay with her brother because she'd never been through a hurricane. She's like, I'm excited. I want to be in a hurricane. I want to stay. I'm like, I don't want you to stay. She's like, Daddy, you ain't going to let a hurricane hit her. I said, no, you need to go back with us. We're going to St. Louis. No, I'm staying. We're going to play Monopoly. We're going to eat Cheez-Its. It's going to be fun. So I let her stay because I knew we weren't going to have that. Because Austin went out to the front deck. I read you that first scripture. I taught to him as a boy. And he said, Matthew, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. And I say you dissipate and you die and you will not hit West Palm Beach, Florida. You get back out there and you run up the West Coast, East Coast, but you'll not touch this place. Well, the next day, it was funny. He was still sleeping because he went to bed. He wasn't worried about it. And I woke up and I saw the news here because I was concerned about it. And I videoed it. And there's a guy in front of his condo going, it's quite amazing. It missed West Palm Beach and it went up there. And Austin's just sleeping. He was tired from Jesus and Monopoly because he knew that he had authority and he had power. Now, I know that freaks some of you out, but it's just the way it is. You have authority and power. So back to my daughter, she has a credit card that she knows the code for, and she just went into Nordstrom's Rack and she bought something for $11.97, something for $13-something, and something for $15-something. I looked at her mom and I said, look, Ashton's at Nordstrom's Rack. And she said, did she ask you if she could go? Did she ask you if you're stealing the money? I said, no, you don't ask. And if you know anything about this, if you're the father of a young daughter and you waited until you were old enough to find a medical facility for you and a kinder care for her, then you know what I'm talking about. So I got her mama over here, and I got this other woman over here called Ashton. And I said, no, I don't ask her. She said, well, she didn't clean her room. She didn't do her piano. She didn't do her deal. And I said, oh, I'm not worried about that. She knew. Ashton knows. Don't send the email notification to mama. Send it to dad. Because dad's sanguine, and he don't care, and he's got a job, and he just wants to make her happy. But I'm telling you that your Heavenly Father has given you full access to his account, and he wants you to just charge it, and he's not going to say, you didn't clean your room, you didn't do right, you didn't. And unfortunately, I'm making Nicole sound like the devil. I don't mean that. But I am telling you right now that the devil came to accuse you, but God came that you might have life, and he doesn't want you to be dominated by the devil. He wants you to dominate the devil and say, Matthew, you get back out there. Disease, you get back out there. Cancer, you're not killing me. No weapon formed. Somebody help me right now. You get a hold of this, and this will change your life. You can be who God called you to be. I didn't say this. He did. He said, I made you alive together with me. In other words, you don't have to take that. Not today. Not never. Sometimes you got to get bold. You got to be authoritative. And you got to stop listening to that inner dialogue or the dialogue of the devil. Luke 4, last passage. Luke 4, verse 6, and it says, and the devil said, and I could preach right there, and the devil said, everybody shout, the devil said. Yes. Do you know the devil talks? Some lady's pointing at her husband. He sure does.
He talks a lot.
Devil talks. You're going to die early. You're not going to make it. This is going to destroy you. It's always going to be this way. If it hasn't happened by now, it's probably never going to happen. That is the devil. God did never say that kind of stuff about you. Or to you. If you hear, I need to go to church, I need to be good, I need to walk in love, that's God speaking to you. But the devil talks. And he said, watch him, he also lies. He said, all power has been given to me, and I want to deliver it to you. I can give it to whoever I want. If you will worship me, all things will be thine. And Jesus answered, notice, if the devil's talking, you got to talk. You can't just take it. Like if you tell me, I'm about to kill you, I'm going to talk back. And it depends on whether or not I'm armed, how I talk to you. But if I'm in a position where I'm not armed, I'm going to say, hey, can we talk about this? I'm going to try my best to talk my way out of being shot. Somebody ought to say amen. So if the devil's talking, don't just say, well, he's been talking to me all day, and you're driving down the road. I've been looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in all the wrong. No, you say, devil, you shut up. Get behind me. Jesus tells us what he said. And Jesus answered and said unto him, who, the devil? He said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. He knew the Bible. And that's why you got to go to church that preaches the Bible. He said, it is written, thou shalt only serve the Lord your God. But the main thing I want you to remember, because you might not remember all these verses, but you can remember this. Get behind me, Satan. Let's practice it, class. Shout it.
Get behind me,
come on, say it with some swag.
Get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm. Nicole went to the mall. We agreed to get out of debt. She bought a dress. She came home. I said, what did you buy a new dress for? I told you what to say. Get behind me, Satan. She said, I did. And the devil said, boy, let's get back here, too. I tell you, behind you. Get behind me, Satan. So when that addiction comes, you say, get behind me, Satan. And then you start focusing on what you want, not on the addiction. I don't know why I always do this. It's because of what you're looking at. So if you change what you're looking at, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So now you don't go on that site. Now you don't go with that person. Now you don't get around those old friends. With all due respect, a lot of the people in your life, you've outgrown them. And so you keep doing the same dumb stuff because they keep doing the same dumb stuff. So you're bound because they're bound. So you need to love them and pray for them, but you're not strong enough yet to be around them. So you come to church. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. If you're the smartest person at the table, you're at the wrong table. A mind stretch never goes back to the original size. And you say, I love you and I respect you, but every time I get with you, I wind up high and butt naked. You got a problem. Every time I get around you, I end up at the casino and lose all my money. Every time I get around you, I get a DUI. Every time I get around you, I overeat. Every time I get around you, I think wrong. And you get around people like this, you get an I Connect, and you don't see church as, oh, I go when I feel like it. You go, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Then you will have the authority and power to say, get behind me, Satan. I'm not what I did, I'm what I do, and I go to church. Somebody ought to help me. I'm a Christ follower. I'm made in His image. I'm created for more, and I'm not going to allow a man or an addiction to jack with me my whole life. And sometimes you just got to tell yourself, stop it. Yeah. I tell myself, you're a 47-year-old cotton picking man. You're a partner 50. Partner, that's when you know you're redneck. Partner, look it up in the redneck dictionary. I'm sure it's in there. You're almost 50. Are you going to act like that? Are you going to be childish like that? Are you going to forgive? Are you going to forget? Are you going to put on your big boy pants and move ahead and not? No. So you have to have these chats with yourself. You have to look at yourself in the mirror and go, stop it. And then say, all right, I forgive me. And I'm going to love me. I'm not going to sit here and abuse me. And you got to forgive everybody. And sometimes you forgive people really well, but you don't forgive you. You got to forgive you. You got to say, I'm not what I did. I'm what I do. And if God loved me, He created me in His image. He seated me at the right hand of the Father. I'm not going to allow even the delay that happened to keep me back from my greater purpose. I never dreamed I'd get to do this, have a church full of people like you, get to live the life of my dreams. I asked Joel, he's coming to town this week, and you should go there Friday night, and I'll be on stage with Joel a little bit. But then I asked him, hey, Joel, come in a day early, and let's hang out. I want to do a sermon for the church. And so I'm going to record a sermon probably up here or somewhere in the office. Just, I never dreamed he'd be my friend. I never knew that God would do all these great things in my life. And I'm telling you, I promise you, that I didn't know at 34 that God was going to do this for me. And I promise you, if you're 74, God has plans for you. And He is able to do in just a millisecond what you've tried your whole lifetime. But I want you to be free. And I want you to live your best life. And I want you to think better so you can live better. But the only way that's going to happen is when you come to church consistently, you raise your hands and you say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray for you. I'm talking to people that I want to pray for here and online, or the people who say, Pastor, I've allowed stuff or people to control me, and I want you to pray for me. Slip your hands up. Let God see it. Let God see it. Come on, don't be ashamed. Maybe you're 70 or 80, and you can't deal with it anymore. You can put it down. God, I pray right now for our friends, our family. God, some of these fine folks drove a couple hours to get here. God, I just decree and declare right now that you are going to protect them, that you're going to help them, that you're going to lead them, and God, that you're going to free them. God, thank you for bringing them to this church. I love them so much. God, I want them to have stability, mobility, and I do not want them controlled by this addiction. They almost hate themselves. They're disgusted. I hear that by the Spirit of the Lord. You're disgusted with yourself. And I hear God say, stop being disgusted with yourself. Forgive yourself. Say you're going to do better. And then make a change. Decide, I'm doing it today. Today is the day I'm going to make a commitment. The church isn't just a viable option that I do when I can. No. Church is a priority to me. And if you don't do it for you, do it for your kids. Break that cycle. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand as you watch this.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.